One of the nation's largest seafood suppliers is under investigation again for allegedly mistreating workers. Eastern Fisheries effectively fired over 100 seafood processing workers in New Bedford, Massachusetts, at the beginning of this month, more than a year after a worker brought a wrongful termination case against the company. If you're buying scallops in the US, there's a pretty good chance they came from Eastern Fisheries. With us for more is Ben Burke, who's been covering the story for NPR member station The Public Radio. He joins us from New Bedford. Hi, Ben.
Hey.
So tell us, why did these workers lose their jobs?
It depends on who you ask. So if you talk to the workers or the organizers that are helping them, they'd say that this is retaliation for getting organized and asking for better working conditions. If you talk to the company, they say this is just a restructuring of how it uses temporary staff agencies to protect them from legal liability.
Okay. So the temp agencies, they seem kind of central here. Eastern Fisheries says the workers were able to reapply for their jobs. How do they do that? Through the temp agency or directly with the company?
No. So these people previously gave their work papers to a temp agency who connect them with these fish processing factories. And that was basically a workaround that allowed a lot of people who may or may not have had legitimate work papers to get jobs at this factory anyway. When the company invited them to reapply as direct employees of the seafood processing factory, they were telling these workers that they would have to go through a verification process for their social security numbers and work papers, which effectively meant if you don't have a legitimate work visa, even though you've been working here for years, you're not going to be able to come back.
So 11 workers total were rehired by Eastern Fisheries. Have the rest of them been out of work ever since?
So I've been doing interviews with some of these workers over the past few weeks, and some of them have found work quickly at other seafood processing plants in New Bedford. Others have found work at landscaping companies rather quickly, but lots of them are still looking for jobs. And for a lot of these people, you know, they don't have much in savings. So this has been a really tough couple weeks.
Yeah. What has Eastern Fisheries said about what is going on here with the workers? Because I imagine they would say we need to make sure all our workers are able to work with proper documentation.
Right. I mean, they're saying that now, but for many years they've been comfortable with an arrangement that everyone in this town knows allows undocumented people to find work. All of a sudden they've decided that they're taking issue with this arrangement. They themselves say this is in response to the wrongful termination complaint that one of their workers recently filed. You know, this worker says, you know, she was fired for raising complaints about sexual harassment at work, about productivity quotas that make it hard to find time to go to the bathroom. But the company, you know, while they're attributing this decision to what happened with her case, they're saying basically like the process of adjudicating her case showed the company that they would be legally liable for many things that go on with their workforce in ways they didn't previously understand.
And the worker that you're referring to is Ruth Castro. Let's just listen to her.
Por el caso mío, los están tratando de represaliar a ellos también.
So she's saying that because of my case, they're trying to retaliate against them too. And she went on to say, I think that what's happening in the factory is unfair because they're playing with the feelings of workers. So Ben, were workers like her trying to organize a union or demand better conditions?
They were not organizing for a union yet. They were speaking directly with their supervisors, which can be really risky for these kinds of workers. And they were saying their injuries at work weren't being taken seriously enough. They were saying supervisors had made sexual advances and comments that hadn't been addressed by higher management. There were also complaints about simpler things like pay. You know, most of these workers make minimum wage right now.
Okay. And you say you've heard some community organizers suggest one of the things helping these workers might be this new guidance that came down from DHS, which potentially protects workers from deportation if they're part of a labor investigation. Is that what's happening here?
Yeah. So these workers, many of them at least, are applying for what's called deferred action on their immigration cases. And if they're able to get this status, it would give them a temporary legitimate work visa in the United States, which is a huge deal for a lot of these people. But I should say, it's not a golden ticket. These work visas don't last forever. And they're only meant to really last long enough for these workers to feel safe to speak about workplace misconduct for a few years while a case is pending.
Okay. And I understand the National Labor Relations Board is now involved after the workers lost their jobs. When will we know the results of their investigation?
It's a little bit of a mystery. They're going to decide whether or not they think this charge of retaliation in the workplace is legitimate. And if they decide that it is, they're going to issue a charge, and there will be eventually a trial if that charge is issued. And the process of bringing a company to trial and bringing in witnesses can take sometimes over a year, sometimes two.
Ben Burke is a reporter with the Publix Radio covering southeastern Massachusetts. Ben, thank you so much.
Thank you.